Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough, you know. Even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show on a Friday, no less. I'm excited about today's show. We want to turn history on its head a little bit. We want to discuss some stuff. We hope you call in. And 888-673-1450, because I want to challenge some thoughts that we have. And I'm going to do that with Thomas Dykes, my guest and former co-host. Thomas was part of this show for years. He's back. And I always love Thomas's take. And even when we disagree, which is seldom, but when we disagree even, I love it because it's usually a great conversation. And we get a lot of stuff. We get a lot of stuff out there. Welcome to the show.
And it's on principles. And you know, deeper things. So it's like, well, we're just philosophizing and disagreeing there.
Yep, I love
it. It's not you're left, I'm right.
It's so true. And it's not the whole party thing has really destroyed our nation in a way, because everything can be quickly brushed into left and right so easily now that we don't give way to actual thought. Have any thoughts in between or any thoughts that are separate from the party mantras? We like to put everybody in a box. And you definitely can't put Thomas in the box. Don't put baby in the corner. You cannot put Thomas in a box. In fact, you can go to thefirestarter.com and you can check out more on him. There's a right now he's just about to load a bunch of stuff on there. So make sure that you put in your email and he will be updating you on all the stuff he presents. Because you've been on YouTube a lot. You've had a lot of followers. It's just you're right in that transition. But go ahead and put your information in, right?
Yeah, because my goal is how can I create understanding for normal people so that they're so independent they can't be deceived, because parents have little time in the day and they're trying to raise their kids, and then they have the education establishment, right. The media establishment, politicians, everything is trying to deceive, it feels. And of course you have the adversary of us all. And so it's like, how can we create material that just makes them powerful in like 5 minutes? It's like they'll never be duped in that area ever again, which will undermine all of these philosophies of man that are being pummeled on them daily. And so I'm just creating materials that are fun and just easy to digest. And it's like,
it has to be now.
Well, like I get asked every election, who should I vote for? And it's like, that is an overwhelming proposition, because if you're deciding in the voting booth or right before the election who to vote for,
you shouldn't vote.
No, you shouldn't.
You really shouldn't. You're doing a disservice because you've remained out of the loop. You haven't dedicated any portion of your life to politics. You haven't dedicated any portion of your life to understanding the Constitution. When I say politics, I'm talking about just the understanding of government in general. Yeah. That you should not vote. You know, a monkey can go into a booth and push a button. This is not what the exercise of liberty is about. It's what you're supposed to be an informed citizen, then votes as a result of being informed, not because you, like a monkey, can just walk into a booth and push a button in 10 minutes and get a sticker.
It's usually a red or blue button. But I want this site, thefirestarter.com. I couldn't believe I got it because it was like $3,000. 2 years ago to buy it. And then all of a sudden I got this prompting. It was $250. I was like, I'm supposed to have that site. And so I want the site to be a looking glass where people will look at it kind of in a parallel way or a parallel universe, look at these issues and say, oh, I got that.
Yeah.
I know how to understand the federal government in 2 minutes. I've never thought about it like this, mm-hmm. and I'll never be dissuaded a particular way again. I think we're so fatalistic in like talking about voting. We're so fatalistic. Like if I don't get the right person, or if my person gets beat by X candidate on the other side, mm-hmm. it's like everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. And it's like, no, this election is for a 2-year office. And if you vote your conscience and you do the right thing. We need to stop living in fear. And Kate, you say mm-hmm. that, be faithful, be fearless. It's like that is the starting point. And so I appreciate Kate's show because I'm like, this is kind of the highest level you go without severe, like being kind of colluded with mm-hmm. by the powers that be. It's like, I know Kate mm-hmm. and she really does search the truth. So if we have disagreements, we're not a threat to each other.
Right.
Because we're not part of a tribe beat the other tribe.
I want to understand why you think what you do. If anything, I want to just understand where somebody's coming from. Lay it all out for me, right?
Well, and I might be wrong. Like the immigration debate with the wall and what immigration should be on a federal level. Like I've changed several times on that over the years because I'm like, what is the role of the federal government and the states in mm-hmm. immigration? Mm-hmm. There's things in the, but there's really nothing in the Constitution, which is funny. Most people don't realize it. They know there's naturalization,
but
there's nothing in the Constitution about that. So there is a debate to be had. I saw this meme. Can I share this with you?
Yeah.
That made me think. It says heaven has a wall and strict immigration policies, but hell is an open border. And I'm like, but that's funny. But I thought there's some truth there. And so that kind of made me look at immigration differently. So if Kate and I get not even mm-hmm. disagreeing, but maybe we counter each other's points, it's like, well, let's figure this out. But we're not a threat.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not a left, right tribe thing.
We're not trying to beat her. Yeah.
I want to be right.
Yeah.
Not to beat people, but just because I want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Lowercase r. I just want to do the best thing that I can, knowing that humans are imperfect, they create imperfect systems.
Right.
And we got to do the best we can, and we need to improve. And so that looking glass where we look at it differently, not just opposite, but differently based on truth is critical.
And not putting the whole emphasis of hope on a person or a quote-unquote leader, because that isn't how you do it. We were a country built on individuals being strong and each of us being a leader. Not necessarily. I hate it when we look at even Trump, and everything is what's Trump going to do? How's he going to solve it? How's he going to save the country? All of that is just absolutely ridiculous because one person couldn't do it all, even if they wanted to, and that's supposing that he wanted to. The problem we have is that we're not looking inward enough. We only want somebody to rescue us. And our whole problem all along was that we kept asking government to come save us on every issue. And so that doesn't surprise me that we're at a point in history where we heap all of it on somebody's shoulders, or we heap all of it and look to the quote-unquote leaders. If these are the leaders, just finish us off now. Because, I mean, I look at Congress, like the Senate and Congress and our judicial system, and you might as well just finish us off because it's that corrupt. So these are not leaders. These are bought and sold participants in a long-laid plan that they want to subvert America. They want to get rid of our Constitution. And until I think people get to that point where they see that, you know, for what it is, and digest that, we don't even have a single hope. And if you do digest it, you're not going to say it's on one person's shoulders, because if you want that one person to save us, that means that person's a king or a dictator. Finish us off right now, too.
Well, totally. And I was thinking about this today. I'm like, Trump mm-hmm. and Obama before him are a perfect test case of how people get emotionally attached to politicians. You should always be willing to fire even those that you vote for.
And
the minute
critical.
They get into mm-hmm. office, the first day, you should be willing to fire that person. Because I'll ask most people, what constitutionally has President Obama or President Trump done well and not well? Mm-hmm. And most people don't know. And that's actually the metric that you should vote for people on or not vote for in the next go around.
But our metric's on personality.
It is, because we're tribes. And, mm-hmm. and I understand people feel threatened by the other side and they want programs or they want freedom. And so mm-hmm. conservatives want this and liberals want this. But when it comes down to the end of the day, we live in the information age. You have no excuse if you can't check the policy histories and have a principled analysis analysis. That was unconstitutional. Yep. Trump's been great on things like land, public land issues. He came to Utah last year and said, hey, we're going to let you control more of your lands. We're going to shrink these federal monuments.
And calling out climate and the whole climate hoax and calling that out and calling out the UN, you know, at least calling it out. We've never even had a president that did that.
But there are issues where he's not been great. Yeah, and so it's like you stack those issues up and you never get emotionally attached to a politician ever, because it will always undo you in the end, because they will be tempted by special interest groups, money. Like we had Obama, it was net worth $1 million when he went into office, $12 million in mansions when he leaves. It's like they will be corrupted, especially on the federal level. And why do we keep saying Trump, Trump, Trump? If we really cared about the federal government, we would say the executive of the United States. We wouldn't even say his name. We would say the executive branch, the legislative branch. Like, we would focus on the legislative branch.
That is so true.
We wouldn't even care, because the executive branch, unless it's immigration and your family's involved in that policy, or maybe tariffs and you're a business person, the executive of the United States has almost zero effect on your life. Like, the Russia investigation is completely irrelevant. I was going to tell you this. I took about a six-month break after 12 years of political activism to finish my degree and to get out of school. So I cut off from politics for that time, for the most part. I came back, and guess what? Still in the news. Russia investigation.
Oh, yeah.
It had no impact on my life whatsoever. But how much emotion are you putting into this? And now the Ukraine, when it does not matter. Is Trump behaving constitutionally? Was Obama? That's all that matters.
Oh, amen, brother. Amen. In fact, I could show you a letter from 1979. Exact same issues we're dealing with today with Iran and Russia. I mean, it never ends. But
Russia.
Marcia. You know what? Let me say this, too, before we go to break. I played the Eat the Babies clip, and I know all the talk shows are talking about it. And, of course, when I listened to it, the very first thing I thought was, this was the greatest plant of all time. The LaRouche, I think, pack put her in. And I thought, the minute I heard it, I knew it was fake, because just the way she was phrasing everything, you could just tell it wasn't sincere, but it was the funniest thing I've heard. If we did more of the sarcasm, throwing it back at some of these outlandish ideas like climate change, I loved that the plant went that far, because you almost have to go that far in order to get people to even look, to get people to even think about how outlandish they are. And so I thought it was one of the greatest plants I've ever seen, because look at all the national attention it's gotten. That is a fantastic thing. Sometimes we have to go to humor in order, and I've done a show on this. I did a show on this where I even showcased two guys that did something very humorous to shed a light on their corrupt judicial system in their country, because there was no other way that the media was going to pay attention to it unless they went that far over the line to show how ludicrous it had become. And that's why maybe we ought to think about that a little bit more in challenging some of these things, instead of just feeling beaten down by these people that create all these hoaxes and actually believe them, like man-made climate change. Why don't we start creating humor to shed a light on the atrocity that they're committing by putting forward a hoax? I think it's great.
Satire takes a lot of intelligence.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More with Thomas Dykes when I come back.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
My blood work with my doctor is the best it's ever been, all my numbers. And this is the only supplement I take now. Whatever I'm doing, he said, keep it up.
We're landlords, and I have about three people moving in, and it's been very strenuous, but I have the energy to do it, thanks to, balance of nature.
My blood work has been getting better and better every 6 months, and I have no explanation for it other than I'm taking a balance of nature. All the numbers are always changing for the better, every blood test.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we'll take off an additional $25 on your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I know
listening to the Kate Daly Show. Glad you are. Welcome to all of our global listeners as well. I don't forget about you guys. I'm actually really grateful for you. Love the emails, too, from all over the world, and I really appreciate it. Kate at katedalyradio.com. On Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. On Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show. And you can go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts, which is live recordings of this show. And share them far and wide. Share them in chat rooms. And I would love to see you do that, because if we can just share these messages with others. Everybody has a group of people that obviously, you know, you can have some effect on. Wouldn't that be great to help to educate them? And all of us, I learn as much from you, and I really appreciate when you call up 888-673-1450. Make sure you go to the website and check out Balance of Nature. You know, I was talking about yesterday about the fact that, that $20 billion in farming is our subsidy, and it's like four or five times the amount for oil. Even it's the highest subsidy we pay out, and people don't ever realize that, because there's just not enough. Yeah, there's just not enough attention to that, and they pick winners and losers. And when they pick winners and losers, they have more control over our food supply than I think we even realize. I think we can even comprehend. And I know you're going to say, no, I know they do, but even I think more than that. That's why if there was ever a time in history to be taking a supplement to increase your health, I would probably be doing that right now. You can actually get $25 off if you put in Kate when you order, and it's so well worth it. You can get about 10 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables, and all you're doing is, like I did this morning, down a few capsules and you're good to go. There's also a great drink that comes with it that has turmeric and everything else in it to stabilize your blood sugar and your immunity to things. We're about to go into fall and winter. I would just up your health. I would take that extra couple of minutes in the morning and just know that all day long, no matter how many times you hit the fast food joint, I know you're going to, don't lie, that you've at least got some nutrients in you. So real nutrients, because it's just dehydrated down fruits and vegetables. And I take this, my husband takes it. We absolutely love it. And you've got to do it. It's fantastic. You'll feel better in about 2 weeks. You'll just feel so good. I welcome back Thomas Dykes from thefirestarter.com, and he was a co-host of mine for several years, and we've done a lot of shows together. We've talked about so many different things, and I love his take. It, you know, you got me all fired up today. I know, I love it. And we were just talking on the break about, I was just talking about the Eat the Babies clip, because it was a plant, and I hope everybody sees that. It wasn't just the left being the wacky left. No, this was a plant, and I actually loved it because it actually made us realize, or made them maybe even take note of how insane they sound to everybody, because I think it's a small group of people, actually. I don't think a large group of people feel the way that AOC does, and of course, we all know, and I played the clips that she answered a casting call, about 10,000 people, was selected for her role in political theater as the congresswoman. She's a waitress. She doesn't know anything. She's given a script. And so it sheds light on her. It sheds light on their whole climate change nonsense, man-made climate change. And so I love that. But there's other solutions, too. And you did something in the Wayback Machine. I remember this because I remember thinking, oh, that was good. But you went up against a bank. And what happened? Because sometimes we don't realize the way to solve problems is to really get together. And I'm all about solutions. So people always go, what can I do? This is one thing that one person did that made a huge difference. And that's Thomas. So I want you to talk about this, if you will.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Well, a couple of years ago, and I wasn't the only one who opposed, there was a 10 cents gas tax increase. And we just had a tax increase on gas a couple of years before that. So the problem was I didn't just go against the state's largest bank. I went against the largest law firms, convenience stores, all of these educators. And as one person, I was the biggest vocal opponent of this gas tax increase. And so I learned a ton. If you've ever heard of Saul Alinsky, he was an author. And in the 60s, I believe he released a book called Rules for Radicals. And this is the Bible for
Hillary's
socialists.
Playbook.
For Marxists, yes. Yeah. Hillary wrote her thesis on this book. And
loved
so
him.
I read it twice because I wanted to know. And in the preface introduction, he writes a dedicatory page. And he dedicates it to Lucifer, who at least had his own kingdom.
Wow.
So because he was the original radical. Think about it. Lucifer was the original radical to God.
It's true. Yeah.
In opposition, and he's very effective.
Right.
So I wanted to understand, well, how did the leftists do this? Because as Christians and as quote unquote normal people, we work and we take care of families. So how do we undermine political causes? Now, this gas tax increase was endorsed by chambers of commerce presidents in our largest cities, presidents of banks, lawyers. We have a convenience store chain, one of the biggest in the West. Their board of president and CEO was on it. So I'm like, wait a minute. They make money through gas sales, mm-hmm. and yet they want to raise our gas tax. And then the bank president that was on the board of trustees for this, they listed all of their trustees, and there were dozens and dozens. Mm-hmm. So what I decided is, okay, how am I going to stand up against this gas tax increase? And I was a customer of the bank. So as a 10-year customer, I closed my account. Now, if you know how banking works, they loan up money based on the amount of deposits they have, not the amount of money in the safe. So I got about 20 people to close their accounts at Zions Bank. And if you think about the future lending capacity, I had put tens of thousands of dollars over 10 years from my income deposits to that bank. They lost millions of dollars just by getting 20 people to pull their business. Right. And I had people email me. I did a live stream in front of the bank, and I had the corporate reach out to me several times. But the problem is the president of the bank, who was a trustee on this, all of their advertising for this gas tax increase, they put the logo of the bank. And I'm like, why does the president of this bank want to make me poorer? Because the gas tax increase affects food and income and all these things. So anyway, I learned through that process that as a guy, and I made like 20 videos explaining the gas tax increase, how the education system works, because it was going to go to, quote unquote, go to the children in education.
It's always for the children.
It always goes into the big budget. It just goes into the big bucket and then whatever. Mm-hmm. And so basically through these strategies, and that's what my website's going to be, is to teach people how does the left undermine big organizations and political movements? Because if Christians can figure out how to do this yet keep their morals, that's what the left doesn't worry about, because Marxism's evil. It really is.
Yeah.
Gets people killed, millions. So if Christians can learn how to be as adept, like that Eat the Babies clip.
Right.
Perfect, awesome satire.
Oh my gosh. Satire is great. We underestimate the power of that, because it drew media attention, right?
Absolutely. Bought all this free media attention. Mm-hmm. And all it took was one person making these ridiculous claims that you've heard eugenicists and others in Europe actually talk about cannibalism and talk about, you know, abortion. Like, it's just their mantra. So they basically took it and times it by 10. And so now this person helped to show the ridiculousness of humanists and atheists and people that just want humans to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know some famous people.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Bill Gates, and others who funnel all these causes around the world which eliminate human life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God must be a real idiot to have created a world that can't handle all of his children that he peoples it with.
Right.
That's the fundamental premise of the leftists, is that there is no God and that the earth can't sustain it. And so that's what this activist did at this presentation. And so when I did these things, and I started a boycott on the convenience store, which I put $3,000 a year into through gas purchase, because it's my favorite. So what happened is, as this went around, you would not believe all the things that happened, but I started a boycott on the bank, on this chain. I did videos, and I really put myself out there. And everyone that I know, even trusted people, thought I was an extremist. But we killed this gas tax at the end of the day. But then when the 18-month process of this boycott at the convenience store was over, and we had a real... Oh, and I did videos in front of the convenience stores.
Sure.
When it was over, the bill was killed, I started frequenting their business again, because it's not personal.
Right.
You're just not going to make me poorer. And if I'm a customer, you owe me not to make me poorer or my family. And so that's the thing. As opposed to Saul Alinsky, who really thought humans were ants.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he said it's like an ant colony. I'm not out to harm you or hurt you, but I'm not going to just stand there and let you take away my income and my freedom.
Right, without trying to educate.
But you lost my business bank for the rest of my life and the ability to loan based on my deposits.
Right.
And this convenience store, they lost some business. People sent me messages saying, I don't get my gas there. For 18 months, they lost $3,000, well, probably $5,000 from me directly and all the people that were supporting
on board.
It. So anyway, that's a long story, but if you read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, yes, he's probably a terrible human being, but he was very effective. And if Christians can understand, and just moral people in general, of all stripes, can learn how to bring their freedoms back and protect them against the moneyed interests and the fancy media ads and the politicians, then you'll stop them in their tracks.
Well, and what you were doing was trying to advance freedom. So you're trying to advance freedom. Your goal isn't just to annihilate a group of people so that you can bring in your controlling ideology. It was to advance the goal of freedom. And that's what makes it so very different. But you could still use the same techniques in some ways to shine a light and to get people to understand that you were really out there for the best interest of everybody. And so once people see that, it does. It makes a big difference. And if we're ever going to talk about solutions, because I think one complaint about talk radio is you talk a lot, there's no solutions. Well, here's one. You know, but are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go to the mat like you did
and
put yourself out there?
So it's so true. And that's what the Firestarter.com is about. I don't mean to continually plug, but I thought I've got to teach people how to do this and still keep their morals. But it does mean, like in this Trump situation with Ukraine and then Russia before that, he's playing a game. Now, I can analyze his actions as president, say this was unconstitutional, this isn't, this is good, this is bad. But at the end of the day, he's playing this game. The one thing I think Trump's done well, and it's kind of ironic because we're in the media here, is he's undermined trust in the media.
Oh, yeah, the mainstream.
But then that means you've got to get educated yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what's the vacuum?
Right.
So he's
been undermining, but we have to know then what to do, and that would be turning it off, too. And I think one thing that he has done well, like you said, is shining a light on it. There wasn't a president that was willing to do that. This is why the media is against him. It doesn't mean they're against him for what people think he's doing in saving the country. It just means they're against him because he's not fitting every single one of their goals. He's not propping up the myth of the mainstream media, which is supposed to be real news. And that's undermines their efforts because they don't want anyone to think that they're undermining when they are. And so I actually think that that's a great thing.
I do,
too.
We
haven't had anybody do that.
I think too, though, with Trump, it's like he's bombastic. I think he could do it a little more maturely. Like, there's a lot of tweets and things he says, and I'm like, I understand what you're trying to do with that, but it's kind of immature. And so it kind of brings down the tenor of political discussion. Now it's even more tribalism. So it's like, on the one hand, yes, you've made people see the truth. The media is corrupt and it's bought and it's in bed with the politicians. But at the same time, you're making everybody ticked off at the other side. And so I guess that's kind of our goal, Kate, in what we do is it's like, how do we create that thirst for truth and to reestablish freedom without making enemies? Like, everyone's an enemy and I'm trying to get you. It's like, no, I disagree with this. I want my freedoms. And my whole motivation for that whole thing, I hope that all made sense.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Is really my does. Kids. If you put a tax in place, your kids are going to pay it and their kids are going to, and it's going to grow
and
over time.
And it will
time.
Never go away. That's the point. Never. It's always built upon. There's not been one tax that's actually gone away.
And then I go back to the convenience store now that's all said and done and you got beat and I'm really happy and I'll buy your gas now. Just don't do it again or I'll come back at you.
See how you can solve a problem on a local or state level. There you go. In any state, right? I love it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Show. I'm Kate Daly, your host, and today my guest is Thomas Dykes. You can actually find him on thefirestarter.com, and I'm glad to have him back. He was my co-host for a number of years, and I am always so happy to talk to Thomas because he always gets me fired up, and we always, well, there's so much to talk about, truly. You know, it's doing a talk show every day is a really interesting thing. Can I just share with you? I've been doing this for just about 8 years, and I can't believe how fast time has gone by. I mean, 8 years. And it's really tough because I've done a lot of research. That's all I do. My husband actually asked me if I have any hobbies, and my hobbies are going to lunch and studying. How sad is that? I thought, my gosh, I don't have any hobbies. I don't play golf. I don't do anything like that. And I was laughing about it because I have such a thirst for it that it actually makes me happy to do it. And I like to go back into history and really analyze history. And oftentimes right now, we're at a point in history where we have become extremely tribalistic. We are, we like to get behind somebody that'll say or do the things that we'd like to say or do because we don't view ourselves as leaders. We want to have a leader guide us. This is exactly why I did a podcast on The Wave. It was a movie that came out starring Bruce Davidson way back in the day from a true experience that happened in 1967 in a classroom where he got the kids brainwashed in about a week to join this movement because they couldn't understand what Nazism was or how people could join it. But he got these students to the point where they would do anything for him. And it was an amazing experiment. He was fired afterwards. But I shared that in a podcast. You can actually get that and listen to it because we like a leader. And one of the things that he learned from that as the teacher, and he thought it was kind of scary, was that people love to be told what to do and they love to put the responsibility on somebody else. And I don't view our president like this. I don't put trust and hope in Trump. When he does something that I think is favorable, I like it, and it's nice because we have so much that has not been favorable, because as we have moved towards communism, there isn't a lot out there that you could consider a win. There still isn't. That's the bottom line. There just still isn't. But you gotta clap when that happens, right? You gotta go, yeah, that's great. Except that I think people want Trump to fulfill that desire to be flippant or tell somebody off or say, oh yeah, you know.
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels good because you don't normally do that. We're probably not a group of people that is comfortable doing that. I think when you get into it, and I'm really not trying to paint party lines right here, if you get what I'm meaning. When I see progressive liberals, the kind that are the activists, the political activists that are just, I think, really kind of three shades of horrid because I don't think they understand much about the Constitution, nor have they ever read it. They just like to be activists for the sake of being an activist. They do what they do, and they don't care, about being as bold as they are to get these obscene and horrific messages out there to the public. But there's a substantial group of Americans that do. So when you have somebody at the helm that is sticking it to them, we love it. But that is also a distraction to watch what's going on with the Constitution in general, like you just said. So we're not noticing what's going on with the Constitution. We're into the, let's stick it to them because they're so outrageous. It's a great distraction for the American people. That's one thing that I've heavily noticed through all my studies. And that's why I brought up the amount of years I've been doing this, because it's really evident. I'm not in a pro camp or an anti camp of really anything in government anymore, because I realize where we started and where we've gotten to and where we are at is super horrific. And I don't mean to be a downer on a Friday. It's just horrific where we're at right now because nobody's watching. Everybody's in the fight. Everybody's in this like little chaotic fight with each other. Nobody's really watching the Constitution. And this is why we do the show. Yeah. But I think what you were just talking about was very interesting. We were just kind of talking about the fact that we can't put it all on a leader. We have to almost rein it in, get through our cognitive dissonance of the distraction that's going on right now, and say, where are we at as a country, and where are we at with the rule of law in our country, and what are we doing? What are we doing on a daily basis to make sure people are prepared and understand what's actually happening to our freedom? That's a conversation we don't have.
Well, the thing is, number one, you are smart enough and you have the capacity, really spiritually, to know truth. Mm-hmm. And so if you come out of the game, well, my guy's Trump and he got those evil liberals or the media, you kind of come out of that and you say, well, what does God want me to do? And the thing is, even with Silicon Valley and mm-hmm. the powers that be, they track everything we do. Mm-hmm. They know every search we make, all of our conversations. They cannot monitor my words and my conversations with God. And so fundamentally, the world always loses in the end because mm-hmm. truth reigns mm-hmm. and it will always be reestablished. The imperfect systems of man collapse mm-hmm. because they leave truth.
Right.
And so the thing is, if we can say, yeah, I'm in this tribe, I like being in this mm-hmm. tribe, and I like Trump winning in that, it's understandable because it's cathartic and we feel the media has been liberal and they've mm-hmm. tramped on traditional morals. But at the same time, you have a responsibility to communicate with your higher power and be led. That's why God's so important. It's because we are not smart enough to navigate all of this information, especially nowadays in the age of information.
But that should be the only leader. Like, if that's the leader, then you then have to do the rest, which is a huge, heavy load, and you do need to lead. But we like to shove that off on other people. And it's I think that's just the nature of man. We actually kind of like that. That's why that guy in the wave came out with, oh, my gosh, people really do love to be told what to do, and they will do it. And
they
that's
like simplicity.
A really scary thing. Yeah.
It's simple. And right. And the question is, and it's not just scriptural, but it's just common sense, is God your God? Because nations who abandon a fundamental moral foundation, they collapse because there's no commonality of morality for everyone to follow.
Or no common leader that should be the leader, and then we make government the God. So then we shift it onto government.
We say my rights come from government.
Right.
In fact, that university we talked about first hour who won't let me speak, I'm going to go in and say your rights are your own. You are born. And one of the most powerful lessons I learned was when I was 3 and I learned I'm a child of God. Well, that automatically means I'm an independent, sovereign individual who has rights regardless of the government I live under.
Right.
Period.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I was born with those things and they're mine, but they can be inhibited. Like, I can be kept from enjoying those rights, the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
But that's just an earthly government tribunal stopping me. It doesn't take them away, and it doesn't grant those. They're not privileges. The right to speak and the religion and association, well, and that is my fundamental right, period.
Right. For sure.
But how many university students don't know that? And then locally, my university, I can't tell him that.
Yeah, because he was actually told not to speak. And because he wanted to speak about the Constitution, and that's now considered far right, which is so sad to me. That's an American thing. That is not left or right. That's the Constitution, yet it's considered a far right notion. It's very, very scary. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, you guys, I'm loving this conversation.
Thanks.
I'm pressing close right now. It's kind of an annual thing I do.
Nice.
And it's making this conversation
annual.
Is making things so much faster.
I iron my shirt once a year. Go ahead.
Yeah, once a year.
Once a year.
Whether I want to or not. Seriously, think about this, guys. Something I've come to see since I've been running for office. I believe that fear has become Satan's most potent tool. Because people come up to me all the time. I'm so glad you're running. I'm so glad you're doing this. And they're pretty well versed in the issues on
right.
both sides.
Good.
They're just afraid to step up. And what a shame. What a shame that so many people let fear get the better of them.
So true.
When they've got a contribution to make. And people will ask me, why are you doing this? Because I'm tired of how things are.
Yeah.
Aren't you afraid? Nope.
You're putting yourself where your mouth is. You're saying, you know, I'm going to actually physically do what it takes to run for office. And we need good people that will do that. Yeah.
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 It's
a no-brainer.
And it's like, it's time to stop being afraid.
Yeah, you're
stop
right.
It.
You're right.
Get together.
No, I love what you just said.
Anyway,
thank you. Thank you. I love
that's
it.
My thinking.
I love it. Fear is. It's a tough thing. And when we were talking on the break about Saul Alinsky and the way he did things and how what his goals were and how he accomplished them. And if we're going to accomplish goals, we better get some game plans on how to fight this, because I feel like we're not equipped. We're playing a game that we don't know what the rules are. We don't know who we're playing. We don't know why we're playing it. And that's putting us at a huge disadvantage, because we just keep getting pummeled all the time. And I don't want to feel pummeled all the time. I want to feel like we're actually doing something that works against this kind of regime. And it really is a regime.
Well, there's nothing immoral about chess. It's only immoral if you win the chess game and you rob people. And that's the fundamental side, is that those who don't want to rob people, who just want freedom and take care of their families, need to learn to play the chess game against people who do want to rob. Marxists want to take your stuff.
Yeah, they do.
They're all values.
They want to take your freedom.
They do. So. And they are, and they win often. And so the forces against freedom, morality, liberty, all that, they're so adept. But I honestly think the right has the best satire, because they're more attuned to truth, because they're more of a religious persuasion, which gives you the ability to utilize the truth to make fun of false philosophy. And so that's why the right is so much better at memeing. They make great memes. They do satire, like this woman saying, eat the babies. Because literally, there are many on the left, materialists, who say, we need to wipe out most of the population of Earth so the Earth can heal itself. But but that just says, well, then God, there's no God. Or if there is a God, he's a dummy because he can't create a creation that can sustain all his children. It's just fundamental. So let's eat the babies.
Kill
the humans to let the earth live.
She was a great plant in using satire to put forth a, do you guys see how lunatic you are? I loved it. I thought it was great.
And there were probably some in the crowd who agreed with her.
Yes, that's what's so scary. It really is a scary thought. And in the next hour, we're going to talk about how communism came to be, because I don't know if people realize how created it was. We're going to talk about that. It is. And it's I think it's hard sometimes to wrap our brains around the sort of sham we've been sold for so long in so many ways. And I could point to so many things, some NASA projects I could point to. I remember the Tylenol scare. There's always a different reason. Nothing is by coincidence, and there's always a reason some of these things are done, and that is to persuade the public to do something and that they want us to do, or to get people behind an idea. Sometimes things just don't spontaneously erupt. Saul Alinsky, as demon-like as he is, he put forth his plan, and he actually had a plan, and he actually had goals, and he had a way of accomplishing those goals, and he was pretty twisted. Yet, how many of us actually looked at what he really did and how he did it? Because it was effective, even though it was for the worst cause, it's effective. We have to learn to be effective and not just defeated. If we walk around defeated all the time, which I have felt like I've been in this defeated eye glaze for years, and I understand how debilitating that can seem, because you just feel like, oh my gosh, I can't win.
You want to give up. And I hear a lot of Christians say, well, just wait till Jesus comes and he'll fix it. And it's like, no, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. And it does create fear, and it creates a little bit more apathy, and it creates us sitting back. You know, people say, well, you know, Trump coming along created apathy. No, he didn't. We've been apathetic for a while. And this is why they've come so far in the communist regime in America, is because we've kind of been apathetic for years. We just don't know what to do. That's the
problem. And they're also good. Like, if someone said to you, go murder someone, no, most people would be like, but if someone said, go defraud someone for your good cause, not using those words, you can get people to do bad things, like in the Wave example.
For the common good of us in the future, you'll understand it someday, honey. You know, that kind of mentality.
If I'm the devil, I'm going to wrap myself in the flag. And I'm not saying that people who like the flag do that. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to use the language of those that I want to change. But I'm going to lead them slowly along the path and say, well, like, if you say that love wins, or you say that charity, Christ taught charity, it's like, yeah, he did. Oh, I just want to use the government to take care of people. Well, okay, but Christ said voluntarism.
Yeah, you're right.
Not forced taxation, which that's, but you just get people to go along with it, and then you have multi-trillion-dollar, you know, programs.
But this is why we have such an enormous amount of people that have become so government indoctrinated, but still think that they're fighting for freedom, because they've allowed themselves to be, you know, swayed by people that have done that very thing that you just said. And that is to look like you and walk like you, but lead you slowly away. And this is why the whole leader thing drives me nuts, because
that's
it's
why,
like, who
charity
are
and socialism is hard to distinguish unless you're educated.
We're going to come right back. Was communism dreamed up? Was it invented for a particular reason? Or did it just happen to come about? It's an interesting question. So we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.